Good morning. It is 9:42 a.m. on the 3rd of October in the year 2020. And today we are going to get into the third portion of the Canons of Dort. And before I do that, I would like to again thank Victor Maxson of the Chapel Library in Pensacola for the privilege of utilizing their material in the deliverance of this sermon series on the Canon of Dort. I would also like to ask those of you who are listening to please pray for the Chapel Library and the people of Pensacola that are part of the Zion Bible Church, the Mount Zion Bible Church in Pensacola, as they are recovering from Hurricane Sally. Right, let's get to it. The third portion, the Canons of Dort today, is going to focus on the second main point of doctrine, which is Christ's death and human redemption through it. Article number one, the punishment which God's justice requires. God is not only supremely merciful, but also supremely just, and his justice requires, as he has revealed himself in his word, that our sins committed against his infinite majesty should be punished, not only with temporal, but with eternal punishment, both in body and soul, which we cannot escape unless satisfaction be made to the justice of God. Article number two, the satisfaction made by Christ. Since, therefore, we are unable to make that satisfaction in our own persons, or to deliver ourselves from the wrath of God, he has been pleased of his infinite mercy to give his only begotten Son for our surety, who was made sin, and became a curse for us, and in our stead, that he might make satisfaction to divine justice on our behalf. Article number three, the infinite value of Christ's death. The death of the Son of God is the only and most perfect sacrifice and satisfaction for sin, and is of infinite worth and value, abundantly sufficient to expiate the sins of the whole world. Article number four, reasons for this infinite value. This death is of such infinite value and dignity because the person who submitted to it was not only really man and perfectly holy, but also the only begotten Son of God, of the same eternal and infinite essence with the Father and the Holy Spirit, which qualifications were necessary to constitute him a Savior for us. And moreover, because it was attended with a sense of the wrath and curse of God due to us for sin. Article number five, the mandate to proclaim the gospel to all. Moreover, the promise of the gospel is that whosoever believes in Christ crucified shall not perish, but have eternal life. This promise, together with the command to repent and believe, ought to be declared and published to all nations and to all persons, promiscuously and without distinction, to whom God, out of his good pleasure, sends the gospel. Article number six, unbelief is man's responsibility. And, whereas many who are called by the gospel do not repent nor believe in Christ, but perish in unbelief, this is not owing to any defect or insufficiency in the sacrifice offered by Christ upon the cross, but is completely to be imputed to themselves. Article number 7. Faith is God's gift. But as many as truly believe and are delivered and saved from sin and destruction through the death of Christ are indebted for this benefit solely to the grace of God given them in Christ from everlasting and not to any merit of their own. Article number 8. The saving effectiveness of Christ's death. For this was the sovereign counsel and most gracious will and purpose of God the Father, that the quickening and saving efficacy of the most precious death of his Son should extend to all the elect, for bestowing upon them alone the gift of justifying faith, thereby to bring them infallibly to salvation. That is, it was the will of God that Christ, by the blood of the cross, whereby he confirmed the new covenant, should effectually redeem out of every people, tribe, nation, and language all those, and those only, who were from eternity chosen to salvation and given to him by the Father, that he should confer upon them faith, which, together with all the other saving gifts of the Holy Spirit, he purchased for them by his death, and should purge them from all sin, both original and actual, whether committed before or after believing, and having faithfully preserved them even to the end, should at last bring them free from every spot and blemish to the enjoyment of glory in his own presence forever. Article number 9, the fulfillment of God's plan. This purpose, proceeding from everlasting love towards the elect, has from the beginning of the world to this day been powerfully accomplished, and will henceforward still continue to be accomplished, notwithstanding all the ineffectual opposition of the gates of hell, so that the elect in due time may be gathered together into one, and that there never may be wanting a church composed of believers. That word wanting means lacking. That there never may be lacking a church composed of believers, the foundation of which is laid in the blood of Christ, which may steadfastly love and faithfully serve him as its Savior, who, as a bridegroom for his bride, laid down his life for them upon the cross, and which may celebrate his praises here and through all eternity. Okay, those are the articles. Now we come to the rejection of errors. Having set forth the orthodox teaching, having set forth the orthodox teaching, the Synod rejects the errors of those, Roman numeral number 1, who teach that God the Father has ordained his Son to the death of the cross without a certain and definite decree to save any, so that necessity, profitableness, and worth of what Christ merited by his death might have existed, and might remain in all its parts complete, perfect, and intact, even if the merited redemption had never in fact been applied to any person. Now, for this doctrine tends to the despising of the wisdom of the Father and the merits of Jesus Christ, and is contrary to Scripture. For thus says our Savior, I lay down my life for the sheep, and I know them. John chapter 10, verses 15 and 27. And the prophet Isaiah says concerning the Savior, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Isaiah 53, verse 10. And finally, this contradicts the article of faith according to which we believe the Catholic or universal Christian Church. Roman numeral number 2. This synod reject the errors of those who teach that it was not the purpose of the death of Christ that he should confirm the new covenant of grace through his blood, but only that he should acquire for the Father the mere right to establish with man such a covenant as he might please, whether of grace or of works. Now, why is that? Well, simple. For this is repugnant to Scripture, which teaches that Christ has become the surety and mediator of a better, that is, the new covenant, and that a testament is a force where there hath been death. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22, and also Hebrews chapter 9, verses 15 through 17. Roman numeral number 3. The synod reject the errors of those who teach that Christ, by his satisfaction, merited neither salvation itself for any one, nor faith, whereby the satisfaction of Christ unto salvation is effectually appropriated, but that he merited for the Father only the authority or the perfect will to deal again with man, and to prescribe new conditions as he might desire, obedience to which, however, depended upon the free will of man, so that it therefore might have come to pass that either none or all should fulfill these conditions. And for these, a judge too contemptuously of the death of Christ, in no wise acknowledge the most important fruit or benefit thereby gained, and then again bring out of hell the Pelagian error. Roman numeral number 4. The synod reject the errors of those who teach that the new covenant of grace, which God the Father, through the mediation of the death of Christ, made with man, and does not herein consist that we, by faith, inasmuch as it accepts the merits of Christ, are actually justified before God and saved, but in the fact that God, having revoked the demand of perfect obedience of faith, regards faith itself and the obedience of faith, although imperfect, as the perfect obedience of the law, and does esteem it worthy of the reward of eternal life through grace. Well, these are rejected because these contradict the Scriptures. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. That's Romans chapter 3, verses 24 through 25. And these proclaim, as did the wicked Socinus, a new and strange justification of man before God against the consensus of the whole church. Roman numeral number 5. The synod reject the errors of those who teach that all men have been accepted unto the state of reconciliation and unto the grace of the covenant, so that no one is worthy of condemnation on account of original sin, and that no one shall be condemned because of it, but that all are free from the guilt of original sin. Now the synod reject this opinion because it's repugnant to Scripture, which teaches that we are by nature children of wrath. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. Roman numeral number 6, the Synod, reject the errors of those who teach and use the difference between meriting and appropriating, to the end that they may instill into the minds of the imprudent and inexperienced this teaching that God, as far as he is concerned, has been minded to apply to all equally the benefits gained by the death of Christ, but that while some obtain the pardon of sin and eternal life, and others do not, this difference depends on their own free will, which joins itself to the grace that is offered without exception, and that it is not dependent on the special gift of mercy, which powerfully works in them, that they, rather than others, should appropriate unto themselves this grace. And they reject that for these, while they feign that they present this distinction in a sound sense, actually seek to instill into the people the destructive poison of the Pelagian errors. Roman numeral number 7. The Synod reject the errors of those who teach that Christ neither could die nor needed to die, and also did not die for those whom God loved in the highest degree and elected to eternal life, since these do not need the death of Christ. And these are rejected, for they contradict the apostle, who declared that Christ loved me and gave himself up for me, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And likewise, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Well, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ Jesus that died. Romans chapter 8, verses 33 through 34. Namely, for them, and the Savior, who says, I lay down my life for the sheep. John chapter 10, verse 15. And also, this is my commandment, that ye love one another, even as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. John chapter 15, verses 12 through 13. And that's it. That ends the second point of doctrine. This is your narrator, Dwayne Lynn, signing off, and we'll see you again next Lord's Day.